Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB. That's right. We are Notorious. We are brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn. And I've got with me, he might have failed to menace, but he succeeded to steal our hearts. Matthew DeSantis at Failed to Menace. How's it going, buddy?
Going great, Chase. It's so glad to be. I'm so happy to be back. Always great talking to you. Always great talking ponies and great talking Saratoga. So it's a great season up there and a lot of surprises and a lot of storylines coming out of Saratoga this summer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's been a pretty good meet so far. I'll tell you what. I started off colder than the polar bear's toenails, and then really you start putting more time into it. I think I wasn't putting as much time as a Saratoga demands into it. And so I slowed down. I started making my own pace projections again, my bootleg time form pace projections, I have like a vanilla ice out so I don't get sued. Because there's go left to right. Mine goes right to left. Like, you know, whereas there's goes da 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 da. Ours goes da 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 da. Not the same.
So I love that. Like, we just both know that interview so well. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, like it, you know, when I was in middle school, high school, on any given night, I could turn on VH1 and just watch Vanilla Ice's credibility fall apart and burst into flames.
Yes, absolutely.
That and get the, you know, the Leif Garrett story. You recently took a little horse racing excursion, went up for the Haskell at Monmouth. That's one of my favorite races. You know, probably the only race I pay attention to in New Jersey, to be fair. But how was it? How was Monmouth?
It was great. You know, it was surprising. We, a bunch of friends and I went up. We were there for the races on Friday as well as Saturday. We were all really surprised how kind of empty it was Friday and Saturday, to be honest. It was the first year they were charging $20 for admission. And I think COVID was still also maybe in the back of people's minds with the latest outbreaks and uptick. And so we got there at we weren't even early. Like, we got there like right before post of the first race, and there were tons of picnic tables just wide open for us to sit down at. And so it was really nice in that regard. And honestly, it didn't start filling up until about the fourth or fifth race, but it was a great day. It was beautiful outside. It was really sunny. And you know, obviously great racing too. I mean, Flavion just went on a roll there at one point, just had his own special pick four. Where he just won four straight races. And then the big race, you know, the big experiment with Jack Christopher going two turns for the first time. And, you know, the top of the stretch, you thought he had it. You know, he had that neck poked out in front. And you thought, hey, here he goes. And, you know, Mike Smith went wide, and maybe that shouldn't have been the best choice. And as I mentioned to you, and I forget if it was off air or on air, but I think it was off air. Whenever there's a big day, I always tell you, Brad Cox and Florent Giroux just happen to show up and kind of, you know, rain on everybody's parade. And while everybody was focused on Taba and Jack Christopher inside rail, there comes Florent up the rail, and Cyberknife ends up winning. So it was a really thrilling race in that regard, and a big day. But it couldn't help but feel like a little bit of a letdown, because everybody really expected Jack and Taba to run 1-2, and for somebody else to win was a little bit of a surprise. But a great day.
Yeah. Cyberknife, or since he's named after a prostate procedure, as I call him, Taint Samurai. Not the first time Taint Samurai has cut someone from behind like that. I've seen it happen in the Arkansas Derby. And it was so underwhelming.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was Bruno. So underwhelming when he won the Arkansas Derby. It's like, fucking Cyberknife, Taint Samurai. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, I know. And now people are mentioning him like with Breeders' Cup Classic. I'm like, but please stop. Like, just stop. Like, no, he's not. He's a perfectly good horse, but like, no, he's not, not that.
The only thing I could say is that maybe he's a horse that is, as a 3-year-old, came into his body and his form a little bit later, but I'm not even sure if that's the case. I also just think that this year's Breeders' Cup field might be a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah. And I also wonder, I mean, he's one who I know they talk a lot about. Mentally, it seems like he's taken a while to get to where he needs to be. He could be a handful to deal with, both in the paddock, getting saddled up, getting into the gate. And so maybe he's just maturing. You know, he's getting more races under his belt. He's getting a little bit more mature. He's maybe easier to handle than he was early on. So that's possible. But, you know, if that's the case, I really like a horse like Charge It a lot more, who is also, you know, maturing and figuring out things out and seems to have more upside. But the one thing that you can't dispute is those gun runners just keep winning. So, I mean, that was incredibly impressive. And then we saw it, you know, in the Amsterdam the following week, three of the top four were gun runners.
Yep.
And so it's just incredible to see that first crop from that sire.
And I mean, worth noting, Gunrunner himself was a very late maturing horse. Yeah. You know, he was my dark horse pick to win the Kentucky Derby that year. He came back and just fired all sorts of all over the place. His 4-year-old year with the Razorback Handicap, with the Breeders' Cup Classic. We'll talk about all that Breeders' Cup stuff later.
Yes.
We've got something way more important, which is New York bred stakes races at Saratoga. This Friday. That's right. We're talking about the late pick five at Saratoga, but we got a bonus for you. We got the Bastard Stakes race that's not in the pick five sequence. The John Morrissey Handicap, which I've been saying for years that New York needed to name a stakes race after the best member of the Smiths.
I love it. That's where my mind went too. It's like the Morrissey. Yeah, like I can hear the Smiths. And I can hear Morrissey, and it's just like, I need an emo horse to win an emo race. And so I love it.
Yeah, that's right. We got to find the dark brooding horse. So yes, we're going to kick this off with race three on Friday. That's Friday, August 12th, 2022. Post time for the third, 2:15 Eastern, 1:15 Central, God's time. It's a 6-furlong race, the John Morrissey Handicap, $125,000 purse. And it's for 3 years old and upward fold in New York State. I thought this was a fairly easy race, just kind of based off of what the pace looked like, but I'm interested to hear what you came up with here.
Yeah. So I think you and I probably see things similarly in terms of the pace, but I think we landed on different horses. And so I landed on the number 6, who is the morning line favorite, NY Traffic. And I'm going to call him NY Traffic. I know some people call him New York Traffic. I'm going to call him NY because that's what it's literally spelled out as. And so NY Traffic is the 6-5 morning line favorite. I see the 1 and 2, the number 1, number 2 horse in this field as setting a pretty fast pace. And I think there's going to be pace up front. And I think NY Traffic can sit just off of that pace. He also has the outside post position, so he can position himself a little bit more nicely. I think it just sets up very nicely, I think, to sit behind the 1 and 2, because the 1's going to have to go breaking from the inside. And the two, that's its only nature, is to break and go to the front. So those two are going to set very fast early fractions, I think. And so I like the six NY Traffic to sit behind that. It's a Safi horse. And I know Safi sometimes gets a reputation outside of Florida, doesn't do well, but Safi's been doing pretty well this summer. He's been firing. He's won a couple races at Saratoga. He's won races outside of Florida. He won the, he won at Prairie Meadows. He won a big race out there. You know, he's won some races at Monmouth. So he's been winning races outside of Florida. So that barn's doing okay.
Thompson Simpson, I stick by my story.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but Barry Spears would kill me if I didn't work that one in.
Not a mercy.
That's fantastic. I love the new drops. The final thing I'll say about NY Traffic is I really think if you're looking back at his running lines, the race that I'm hoping he replicates is the race that he ran in the Hudson Stakes at Belmont last October, where he kind of sat third and then made the run behind the early pace. So that's kind of the race I'm hoping he replicates. But I know you landed on someone different, but I think for maybe some of the same reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it was 100% an issue of pace. And what I ended up landing on number four, my boy Tate. And it was a lot of it was just because of how the pace shook out. And then when I took a look deeper into the running lines, what I noticed was every time a race heated up to less than a 23-second opening quarter, the horses won. And you should have plenty. You should have those sort of speeds. I could have gone with either, quite honestly, with your pick or with my boy Tate. And I just ended up on my boy Tate. Yeah. At the end, because I've got mixed feelings about Safi.
Yes, Cuban B.
So how I decided to play was I'm definitely going to go ahead and play my boy Tate in as a win bet. I'm hoping I get pretty good odds. I need to look at the morning lines, but I have a feeling he's probably going to be fourth or fifth choice. And then I'm leaning into that opinion, going an exacta with the four who's my boy Tate over the one and two, St. Selbian. What do you think now? And then horizontally, if you're going to play any horizontals early, I honestly feel like this is an asshole single in the early pick five, pick four, roll pick threes through or double.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my boy Tate's the second favorite.
He's really?
Three to one. Yeah, 3 to 1 in the morning line ahead of St. Selby, who's 4 to 1, and what do you think now, who is 7 to 2. So all very closely bunched together behind NY Traffic, who's the favorite at 6 to 5.
Gotta respect a Michelle Nevin horse taking that sort of heat on the morning line.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how would you play this race if you were wagering it? Just for one race, or maybe to use for horizontals early.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna play the six up top. I'm gonna play six to win, and I'll probably single the six, honestly. There's another race later on where I might single as well. So if I want to spread a little bit more, I'd probably go with your four as well, because that's the other one. I'm not going with the one or two. That's the thing, is if you look at this as like a four horse race with the four favorites, I'm not using the one and two because they're going to burn themselves out. So right now it's okay. Do you want to use the four, the six, or the four and six? I think those are your choices. And so I'll probably play like an exacta 4-6 or something like that. Or 6-4, but this one seems kind of like a slam dunk in some ways, in terms of those two being the two that are left standing at the end.
Okay, all right. We are going to take the quickest of breaks here at the Notorious OTB, and when we come back, we're going to get we're done with the side dangler, the Morrissey. Now we're going to get into the pick five here, where we do the big boy capping. I'm a small man. I would just like to clarify that for the record. I'm like 5 foot nothing. I'm girthy, I guess, but not in like the good way, just in the fat way. Either way, we'll be back with more Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Thinking about joining WinBet? Now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet.
you're betting baseball, you have to check out WynnBET. Their reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet the MLB. Plus, WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day, and where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We all like shopping around, trying to find the best prices on our props, on our bets. But there is a tool out there that makes all that shopping easy because it is a one-stop shop. It's called Odds Trader. Now, what is Odds Trader? It's a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can compare all the different sign-up codes and promotions from sports books to get the best deal. App also provides player statistics, key game statistics, injury reports, projected game day weather, so bettors can all make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker, so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. You gotta check out Odds Trader. Listen, it's got all the tools. Handicapping tools, play-by-play updates, live scores and bet tracking, player statistics, key game statistics, projected game day weather, and that bet tracker that allows you to keep records of all your games and betting activity. Just go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, it's the number one site for all your game day bets. Welcome back to the Notorious OTB. I'ma spell my name one more time. Check it. It's the N-O-T-O-R-I-O-U-S. You just lay down slow. It's hot. I came up with it myself. I'm just baiting Valetta Wallace at this point. Like, come get me. Come see me. Please don't do that.
Yeah, don't. Please don't. Please don't. Yeah.
So, we are back. We're going to be talking about the late pick five that kicks off in race six for this late pick five for Friday. Six race, post time 3:55 Eastern, 2:55 God's time. And it starts with the Union Avenue Handicap. It's another 125K New York bred stakes race for three-year-olds. It's a 6 furlong also. This was another, you know, shorter field. You know, I guess a little bit longer as opposed to the compared to the rest of the stakes races. But, you know, it's fairly interesting little race here. What did you think with this one?
Yeah, it's an interesting race. And again, I think there's some pace issues. There's some interesting horses that I think are coming back from a little bit of a layoff and some horses that are cutting back in distance. And so I think you and I ended up landing on the same choice and actually ended up using the same top two in this one. I think you and I really agree. So Bank on Anna was the horse that I kind of zeroed in on. Second back from the layoff. I mean, it's just that's an easy angle to always use, but it's an effective one. Just seems like a very logical choice. Also, last time out, you know, coming off that layoff, faced Open Company at an allowance race. That's something I typically like to play with these, you know, state bred races, is looking at who's faced against Open Company before and then dropping back in against state breds. Typically that's kind of almost like dropping down in class, even sure. If you're going from an allowance to a stakes. This is a very good horse. This is a horse that showed a lot as a juvenile and seems like it's taken a step forward a little bit and matured as a three-year-old. So I really like this, the four. The other horse I really wanted to try hard to pick this horse up top, but I really like the three a lot. And so Mashney Girl, this is a horse that's getting a cutback in distance, going from a mile or a mile and a 16th back to 6 furlongs. That's a cutback that I think a lot of us like to play. And the nice part is this horse does have early speed. So it's not as if this is a miler with a late kick or a miler that's a plotter. This is a miler who likes to try to wire the field at that routing distance. So this is a horse that has speed, that can compete in sprints and go out there. And if you look, some of those races where, you know, she's finished a little further back, she's faded at the end. So if she can just use that speed, she's not going to have to worry about that last 2 furlongs anymore. And she can just go all out for 6. At the same time, though, she kind of is a need to lead horse, and I'm not sure she gets the lead. And so that was my only concern with the 3. In terms of picking her up top. So I ended up on the 4, who, like I said, it's a little bit more chalky, but I like pairing those together in an exacta.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you there. I think Bank on Anna is your winner. like you said, coming out of open competition, you can even, like you said, take the drop from an allowance to a stakes. You pretty much said it all. So I'm going to talk about your second choice, Mashing Ural. I like this horse to maybe get up and get a piece of the exacta. And the reason being, the horse is definitely in need the lead, kind of maybe quit without it sort of horse. However, I think it's maybe growing out of it a little bit, because I'm looking at that last race that was the open company race where the horse didn't have the lead at the first or second call, was, you know, a length back, half a length back, and then passed and looked like it just kind of mistimed the ride. And then, you know, Saez lost the crop. I like that quite a bit. So I'm right there in lockstep with you. I'm playing it in a single race. I'm going with the win with the Bank on Anna number 4. And then I'm going to play an exacta Bank on Anna number 4 over number 2, Secret Love, and number 3, Mashney Girl. And then I've got a kind of a, you know, press my opinion trifecta built out where I'm the 4 over the 236, the 236, the 6 being the horse that I really kind of took a long look at and decided that I wasn't going to use horizontally or as a win candidate, but one that has a grinder that could hit the board written all over it.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting the blinkers on as well for that 6, which is usually an angle, which is actually an angle I'm going to play later in the sequence. But is an angle I typically like to play, especially with a horse that has demonstrated in the past that it can be forwardly placed and seems like the last couple of times has struggled and used to run with blinkers on. So it used to have blinkers, got the blinkers taken off and was okay for a while. And it seems like maybe the horse just, I don't know, it's gone through a lot of different barns. So perhaps just at some point, you know, forgot some of his training and, or just got mixed signals, which can happen with horses. And so getting those blinkers back on, I do think will be a real positive for that 6.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of making those equipment changes. Cause if nothing else, it lets me know that the trainer is invested in trying different things to get the horse into the winner's circle. So go ahead.
Yeah. No,
I heard the inhale. You can go. What you got?
No, I was just going to say, to your point, I think there's a difference between a horse. I think there's a difference between a trainer who's had a horse for 10 races is dropping him down in class, putting blinkers on. It's like you're throwing the kitchen sink to try to get this horse something, versus a horse that is kind of first time with a trainer and the trainer is actually taking some consideration into this. I would see those as two different things. One is just kind of throw the kitchen sink and try to figure, can we get this horse in the winner's circle somehow, versus is there a long-term strategy for success with this horse? And I think this is the latter.
You show me a horse that's adding blinks, first time gelding, and adding lasix for the first time. Oh,
time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade.
I love that. Oh God. Yeah. Throw everything at the horse. Let's go. Exactly. Well, throw everything and then subtract two things.
exactly.
All right, moving on. We got race 7. It's 8 furlongs. It's on the inner turf. It is a non-New York bred. It's open competition, $80,000 optional claimer. And it looks like it's got all sorts of SAT math problem conditions. Buy the past performances and read them. All right. You know, I'm gonna tee off on this one first.
All right, go for it, man.
So I landed on who I thought was your most likely winner was the 3, Gal in a Rush. And this horse is going to be absolutely pounded at the window, I think, but I think it is your most likely winner. However, there's a horse that I will most likely be win betting instead. And that is the 9, Swift Action, for Michael Trombetta with Trevor McCarthy up. One after a slow start from off the pace in the slop. When a horse wins from off the pace in the slop, it makes me think that it's got that big wide turf hoof that will handle a turf course pretty well. You know, the dam hasn't dropped any turf winners, but she's also only dropped one foal, and this was the one, and she's 1-for-1 so far. So I really liked this one as one that could maybe come from a little bit off the pace. And I really love this workout pattern. July 25th, they have the big blowout, 48-second, 4-furlong work at Laurel, shipping into Saratoga. 5th of August, they work her out. She goes just an easy leg stretcher. When I see it on Steven Aspison, I call it the ass man power move. It's just the, you know, the really just tightening the screws, blow out, and then just like a loosen up and get relaxed, ready for the next race. So I definitely think three wins, but I am all over the nine Swift action here.
So it's interesting. You and I ended up on some different horses, but we both were attacking a price a little bit. And so I ended up on the four Diamond Hands, 6-1. This is a horse I really like, and I like the running lines in this horse quite a bit. It's just recently gone to the Todd Pletcher barn, used to be in the Clement barn. So, you know, going from one very successful barn to another, Pletcher is 25% off the claim. You don't see him in that world that very often, but it's very successful. Here's the thing I like about this horse. You look at this horse three back in November 7th race of 2021, broke its maiden over a horse named Oakhurst. Now, Oakhurst promptly goes out and finishes second at a Belmont Stakes race the next out, and then just last week ran in the Grade 3 Saratoga Oaks. So beat a pretty good horse in its maiden race, and then came back two out and finished second right behind Pizza Bianca, last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. Then you look at that last race, and I'm willing to draw a line through it, because if you look at the fractions, I don't know what Rosario was doing with this horse, because if you look at every other race this horse has run, when it goes on the lead, it likes to run 23, 24 second opening quarter, 47, 48 opening half. He's going 26, 51. It's just, he's crawling around the track, just inviting the rest of the field in, and just, it went against everything this horse is kind of programmed to do. And so I think getting a new barn, getting Saez in the irons, I think just, you know, you're getting a new jockey. I just think if Pletcher and Saez are smart, they go and they look back at this horse's previous running lines and they realize, use the speed, open up five or six lengths on the field on the front end in a New York turf race, and you're going to have enough to hold on at the end in most cases. So I know it's always risky to go with the early speed in a New York turf race because you never know how it could turn out, but I just think this horse provides a little bit of value, and I think there's something there.
There we go. And I mean, we don't have to wonder what Joel Rosario thinks. It's just Joel Rosario, just, he's in his own world of Joel Rosario-ness.
Like, and just, when he hits, it's amazing. I mean, he gives some of the most spectacular rides you can ever imagine, but he also gives some of the most befuddling rides you can ever imagine. And sometimes in the same race. And so it's, you know, it's just, it's the same guy who took Epicenter to the back, you know, and then looks like a genius doing it. And so, you know, I just, that last race, like I said, I'm just willing to cross the line through that one. And there's actually quite a few horses in this field who were in that last race. And so in a lot of ways, I just kind of tossed that race in general, because I was like, that's just such a slow, even by New York turf standards, that's such a slow pace.
Yeah. You mentioned Joel taking Epicenter to the back in the Jim Dandy. I was watching the track feed, and there was Joel having a face-to-face conversation with the trainer.
And oh, Asmussen. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I did was I just screen grabbed the picture and then just had the caption of like, yeah, I'm not going to do a fucking thing that you just told me to do. You know, tell a Joel how to be a Joel. A Joel, yeah. just bees. That's, yeah, it.
Very much.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what to do with horses that ran against that ran and lost at Del Mar at the Breeders' Cup, and I also don't know how high of esteem to hold horses who ran second, for example, to like Pizza Bianchi.
Yeah.
Bianca, because it was just such a fuck. Just a crazy weekend. Also, yeah. I'm really glad that I watched a documentary about GameStop, because now I know what Diamond Hands means, because they went full on into the Reddit Wall Street Bets.
I don't even know. So, all right.
Yeah, Diamond Hands is when you buy a stock and you just hold it. You got these Diamond Hands.
Gotcha.
As opposed to paper hands. Obvious.
Obvious.
All right. Yeah. Just all that sweet stuff. So, yeah, I thought the most likely winner was Gallon Rush, using Swift action. And the way I'm going to play it, I'm going to bet the 9 to win, because I think I get a price. I hope I can get it in. And then what I do is I use the trifecta, where I use both the 3 and the 9 on top, going 3-9 with 3-5-9 with 3-5-7-8-9. And I'll be 3-7-9 in horizontals. yeah, I'm spreading out there. I feel like three wins, but also I feel like Joel Rosario fucks me a good amount of the time. So
yeah. And the horse ran a mile once, but it's also been sprinting a lot lately. And so, you know, you never know on the stretch out how things go. I'm going to probably play 3, 4, 5. That 5, I think, is a real wild card to some extent. Those are the 3 I'll probably use in the sequence.
All right. We are going to take one more quick break here on the Notorious OTB. And when we come back, we'll have more of this Saratoga sequence. We'll be right back.
Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun, for Pick'em and Survivor to fantasy pools. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you don't get anywhere else. We've teamed up with Run Your Pool to host a pool for our official SGPN NFL Survivor contest. It's free to enter, and some amazing prizes will be announced soon. Hop in and reserve your spot. Get in over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. They just passed 4 million users, and now you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over and under game. First, in any sport, choose 2 or more players that you like and pick the over under. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. With the NFL season right around the corner, Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. The main reason I'm excited about Over Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks at the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now for their Over Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP, and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details.
Welcome back to the Notorious OTB. Come on. Every time I hear that, I think of just 12-year-old me ready to fuck some shit up, or maybe go to like a youth, church youth group and dance and just kind of grind on booties until someone's like, stop doing that. You're at church. Literally my childhood in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all a great childhood though. That was a childhood we all had. Like, we all thought we were listening to this music that was like so hyped up, and yet I was living in a very, very mundane suburban lifestyle. I was like listening to that going to golf practice, very exciting stuff.
that's good stuff right there.
Exactly. No, that's high class. So
all right. So coming back, we've got race number 8. The Evan Shipman Handicap. Every time I grew up with people named Shipman, and it always takes me, even though I'm used to saying it, a lot of practice not to say Shipman. It is a $125,000 purse. It's 1 mile on the weird ass mile chute at Saratoga. This is a pretty interesting race. You've got some names here. And you've also got, some not names. You have names for New York breads. Like, you have Seafoam, who, I can't tell you how many times I tried to get that horse over Mr. Buff, and it never happened. It's an interesting little race. What did you think here?
Yeah, it is an interesting race, and you're right. It's coming out of that Wilson chute. So it is, that was one thing I actually kind of put a little bit of priority on, was like, do these horses have experience coming out of the chute? Because it's a little funky. And I think you also look at the number 1 horse, Bankit, obviously a horse whose name I think a lot of people probably know, but also running for the first time since running over Maidan. That's always a huge question mark for me.
Back to a New York bred stakes race. That is fucking weird.
It is weird. And I they're just trying to find a soft landing spot, but I will always play against horses coming back from Maidan. And I know I can hear people probably saying, oh, what about Casa Creed? What about Art Collector? Those are the exceptions to the rule. I mean, you look at a lot of these horses take 2-3 times out to kind of get back into the right form. Horse like Shahama that just won the the Monmouth Oaks a couple of weeks ago. It took like four races to get back into, you know, prime shape. So a lot of these horses I'm willing to play against. Therefore, I ended up on the five, Tiergan, who is admittedly stepping up in class, but one coming out of this Wilson shoot just 10 days ago on August 3rd and did it as the overwhelming favorite and did it by 10 lengths. This horse is clearly ready to step up in class. This horse is, if you just look at a mile distance, this horse is 12 for 14 finishing in the money at a mile. This is a very, very good horse at this distance. Should sit a really nice trip. I think the four and the seven are going to go. I think, you know, Tiergan has good early speed, but is more tactical to sit in a stalking trip and then go launch late. So I like the way this race sets up. I know he's stepping up in class a little bit, kind of short odds. I think it's 5-2 odds on the morning line. I wouldn't be surprised if they float up though a little bit. So that's my pick.
So I don't know if my perception of how these races on the 1 mile, was it Wilton or Wilson shoot?
Oh, Wilton. I'm sorry. Wilton. Yeah.
See, they fucked with me. They ran a Wilson Stakes out of the Wilton shoot on the first day. So
I know.
Yes. That's what gets me, but I don't know if I've seen a good number of maiden races running out of the Wilton shoot, and it's messing with my perception of what style of runner you need on this track configuration, but it still seems like you need to be off the pace. Cause it seems like a couple horses always come burning out of there and have a really just easy advantage. It's probably because of that just pretty sharp turn after going full bore out of it, going down the kids' birthday party, bumper bowling lanes, because they have to put up the temp rail and make sure no one like hangs a left.
Right.
But I wanted to focus on a horse that was going to be off the pace a little bit. Yep. And I'll tell you what, Tiergan was extremely appealing, and I decided to go elsewhere though. Yep. And I went with the six, Market Alert, the other Ortiz, because I don't know, if Market Alert's a longer price, I can see IRA just kind of pulling up Tiergan, so Market Alert gets by. I'm not saying they cheat. But yeah, the horse has been on the steady improve. It won a New York bred graded stakes race last out, and did it on like sort of a weird one turn format at Belmont, going a mile and a 16th. So I think this kind of same one turnish sort of thing will work out well for Market Alert. I mean, Ryerson seems to have this one just kind of dialed up. Speed figures are there, and I think I want this horse to be just sitting exactly the same trip that it had last time, sitting maybe like anywhere from a half to two and a half back, and to be ready to strike late. So I was on Market Alert there. So the way I'm playing this, I'm going with a win on six straight up, and then I've got a trifecta using your horse and my horse on top. 5-6 with 1-5-6 with 1-5-6-7. I'm going to go ahead and use 1-5-6 horizontally. You know what? No. I believe in the Dubai bounce, and it would be hypocritical of me to not just Dubai bounce this horse out of my ticket. So fuck it. Bank it. You're out. I'm sticking with the 5-6.
I love it. Good for you. Yeah. I feel really strongly about this. And I also spread a little bit more in some other. This is one race where to keep costs down, I would actually single the five. I really feel strongly about this horse. And so, but again, that just, if there are some later races, which we're going to get to in 9 and 10, a little bit more spready perhaps. And so if you're not spreading as much there, then I think the 5 and 6 make a lot of sense, but I am absolutely also playing against the one.
All right, let's go race 9, the penultimate leg. It's 5.5 furlongs on the Mellon Turf course. It is a New York bred $40,000 maiden claimer. And it's for fillies and mares, 3 years old and upward. Worth noting the temp rail distance. Always note the temp rail distance on the Mellon Turf at the 5.5 sprint. It is at 27 feet now, where previously you had to have a whole lot of speed to be able to clear from the inside and not get pinched in from the, by, you know, all the speed coming from the outside. The geometry just works out better here. So inside speed is actually a lot more alive than it has been the early part of the meet because of it. I'm done with my diatribe. What do you got?
So these are races that, and I, you know, I know you've had Barry on before, and Barry and I talk a lot about this stuff with like Stable Duel and things like that, but these are races I absolutely always attack at a price. I rarely ever use chalk in a maiden claiming race. And so I went to the far outside, and I'm taking a little bit of a swing here on the 10, Lola Lola, who's 15-1 on the morning line. And it's for one of the reasons we mentioned earlier, getting that equipment change, getting the blinks put on. And I can kind of explain this horse's three running lines. So this horse started out sprinting on the turf at 6 furlongs and, you know, hopped at the start and kind of, you know, it's a debut effort. Wasn't terrible, but, you know, finished 7th out of 8, 6 back, then goes and stretches out on the dirt and just had a terrible break and just, you know, was eased home basically under Dylan Davis. Then last time out at Saratoga is going long on the turf again, but at least in that race showed some early tactical speed. And so showed that there was some speed with sitting 2nd at the first call. And now you're shortening up on distance. You're putting the blinkers on. It's hopefully going to keep this horse engaged, get this horse out there early. I always like the outside post position and sprints. To your point, though, about the rail, obviously inside speed's a little bit more alive. But I just figured the equipment change and all of this stuff, it just, I don't know. I'm going to take a swing with this 15-1 horse.
I like it. I've got a price that I'm swinging at also. I'm going to go with the Furster on the inside, number 4, Lacey Underall for Jimmy Jerkins. You know, I love equipment changes, but I am a fucking simp for weight breaks in races like this. And yeah, we get Jose Gomez up, who I've cashed on a few times, playing that weight break angle and getting the early speed late, getting the early speed. So I expect him to gun here. I mean, this horse, great, great pedigree. We've got Creative Cause on top, out of a Hurricane Run mare. The mares had 3 horses make the gate. 3 of them were winners. 1 of them on the turf. You know, the people will say, but Wolf, Jimmy Jerkins is 4% with one-time starters. He's 0% with debut turf starters. And I say, fuck that. If the horse is live, it's live. It doesn't matter what that percentage says, because you know what? When you, I guarantee those 4% fucking paid. So that's what I'm trying to, I mean, I understand there's something to be said for 30% angles and everything, but there's something, if we think about it, a 30% angle wins 3 out of 10 times,
right?
Fucking swing away. So yeah, I used Lacey, Lacey Underall for that one. And, yeah, the way I was playing it, win place on 4. I got to think that there's going to be money in the place pool for the 4. And then I was an exact box, 1, 4, 5. And then I took all the inside posts horizontally. I went,
I saw that. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here. This is probably going to be the most expensive pick 5 ticket I've done on the show yet.
Yeah. I like the 8 unqualified, which is a great name, and a great dad pun. But I like that horse a little bit, taking a second crack at this distance and this level, finished a really close 3rd last time out, and you're getting 6-1 now, which is a decent price. So I don't mind playing that 8 underneath a little bit. And the 3 and the 5, I think both make a lot of sense for different reasons. The 3 is going back, you know, to the same level and distance from its best effort, and it has a top jockey and trainer. And then the 5 is trying turf for the first time, but the last work was dynamite and it's getting Lasix. And so the 5 makes a lot of sense too. So, you know, I again, going to spread a little bit in this one.
All right. We've got 1 leg left. It's that get money leg. It's the last leg, but we're going to make you wait for it. Ooh, tease, feel titillated. We'll be right back to wrap this up on the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple.
You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use the promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP.
Welcome back to the Notorious OTB. We made you wait for it, the last leg, but here we go. As promised, we're delivering race 10, 8 furlongs, a $95,000 N1X allowance for New York breds. It's on the inner turf. This looks like a clusterfuck of a race, quite honestly. Really, it's got a little bit of the, I call a moonwalk race quality, where none of the horses really seem to be want to be on the lead. And so I expect when the gates open that they all start tiptoeing backwards, like to avoid being the horse out in front.
Yeah.
Here, I'll go ahead and just tell you. I took the three, Theodora Grace, as my top pick. I figure whoever wins this race is going to be sitting in that amorphous blob of a pace setup up front. So I kind of liked Theodora Grace to maybe kick forward. I have to, you know, there's some risks here. Like I have to trust weekday Irad Ortiz. But yeah, I like Theodora Grace because there just didn't seem to be a real need the lead type horse here. And I thought maybe this one could assert itself.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about weekday Irad because there are certain jockeys where you're like, oh, they put their riding shoes on today. Like, all right, we're buckled up and ready to roll. But what always the juxtaposition to that to me was always like Thursday Gulfstream early pick three Louis Saez, who was just like dynamite every day. It was like Thursday at Gulfstream, and it's like Louis wins the first freaking four races before everybody else from New York came down. And so it was early meet Saez. But anyway, I digress. This is a bit of a clusterfuck of a race, to use your terminology. And I ended up on the six, Classic Lynn, at 6-1. This horse has been on the turf three times, and it's done well each time. And the debut was a close third. Second time out, broke the maiden going long. It was important to point out the debut was at 6 furlongs. Broke its maiden going long. The last time it was on turf, which was just last time out, was fourth in a stakes race. But that was also coming back from a 9-month layoff. So considering that, not a bad effort. Trainer Joe Sharp, we talked about trainer stats. This is one I actually kind of like. He's winning 35% on second back from a layoff in these conditions. And so this is a horse that clearly needed to get one under its belt, I think, and should run a really big race. And you're getting decent odds at 6-1 on this horse. So I kind of like taking a swing there for that. Like I said, getting Louis Saez, who that's part of the reason I mentioned him, getting him back in the irons, should be close to the leaders. Very wide open race, though. The 11 is probably the best horse in the race, but I just hate that post position and will play against that 11 for that reason. And I think, you know, you could look at a few others that make sense. I think the 7, 8, 9, all for one reason or another, you could kind of argue as well. I think the 1, 3, 4 all kind of make sense, too. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways you could go here. I'm going to plant my flag with the 6 and see where we end up.
I mean, the 6 was one I liked as well. The 9, that was one I also liked and did definitely using this horizontal. But also, I mean, I like it for its horse talent, but I love it for the sneaky good Shawshank Redemption reference here. Yes. It is a uncaptured filly named Dufresne.
Fantastic. Great name.
Yes. To go horizontally, I went 3, 5, 6, 9 to finish it off, and I just tabulated what my ticket is going to cost, and holy God. I was a win place on the 3, and then I went trifecta 3, 5 with 3, 5, 9 with 3, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one. Yeah, it's I would say this is one where if you have strong opinions early in the sequence, just you got to single them. And because late, it just gets really tough. These last two are just, I feel, really wide open races.
Absolutely. So that is it. Let me see. I did the math on my ticket, and I'm going to go ahead and just give you everything together so you don't have to piece it together through the magic of the 15-second back and forward rewind. Well, not rewind, I guess, because there's not tape anymore. But all right, my ticket, pick five, was 3-4 with 3-7-9, with 5-6, with 1-2-3-4-5, with 3-5-6-9. And that is a $120 ticket for 50 cents. That is the biggest ticket I've put together possibly ever.
All right. So I'll give you mine. Chase, can you calculate it once I'm done? And so mine is the 3-4 with the 3-4-5 with the 5 with the 3-8-10. And then finally with the 6-11-1-3-9.
$45 ticket for 50 cents.
All right. That's not terrible.
That's not bad for this sequence. And yeah, you know, this is one with these last two races. I feel more comfortable investing that much in a sequence I feel like I know is going to pay just big balloons.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thought on it.
Yeah. I have a hard time seeing chalk winning the last two legs of this.
All right. I don't know who's been doing it, but someone has been posting their like huge winning pick five tickets where the ticket wins like $20,000.
Yeah.
But for 50 cents, it was like a $5,000 ticket.
I saw that. Yeah.
And like, I feel so absolutely just conflicted because for one, are you fucking kidding me? And for two, the ROI is kind of there. Like, you know, it's still there. So I can't hate it too much.
Yeah.
But I still fucking hate it because it's, yeah. I mean,
my thought is if you're going to spend that much on a sequence, which is hard to hit, I mean, any sequence is not usually easy to hit. Anybody who thinks it is, you know, everybody's single on Monterey last week and put a lot of tickets up in flames. But I just, in my opinion, I would rather just go on a 4-1 win bet on a horse that's going off at 4-1 that I like a lot and put $5,000 on that and win back 20 plus. It feels like a much less risky investment than putting together this sequence. That's, I mean, granted, it's probably pretty well spread, but still, I don't know. I'd rather just put a lot of money on a horse I feel really good about that's going off at 4 or 5 to 1 and win that way. So
I'll tell you this right now, folks. If you think I'm a chalk eating weasel now, wait till you see me put $5,000 to win on a horse. I will obliterate a 1-9 and be booming it all the way down the stretch. Just I'm talking, oh man, like resounding booms, like booms that make ass cheeks clap down, you know, just absolutely
flight line in the Pacific Classic. I mean, we're putting, everything on that horse.
That's right.
Well, and we're getting $100 back.
Woo! Yeah. I always think of the guy at I know it's not just one person who's the serial bridge jumper at Charlestown in the show pool, but I like to imagine that it's one person with a Louis Vuitton duffel just filled with hundreds of dollar bills. He's dropping $2,000 to show on a horse and getting, you know, like $200 back. You know, it's like good risk. Yeah.
By the way, that's my dad. That is my dad. My dad loves a show bet, and what he really loves to do is sit there. And I remember last year, I want to say maybe it was the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he liked Essential Quality, and we were in South Carolina, so we can't bet at all anyway. But he's like, theoretically, I put $2 to show on Essential Quality, and then when it comes back, he acts like he's big deal. He's like, oh, $260 paid off, pretty good. He's so pleased with himself when he wins 60 cents. I love it.
You got, oh man.
Is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
I'll cut it off early. In case your dad listens, no disrespect, because you have to, when it pays 260, you have to hit him with the consummate show better line, which is pays better than a 401k. Which you're not wrong. Percentage wise, you're not wrong.
Right. But it's just, he kills me with that. And so we always have fun with that, where he will always defend a show bet to his death.
There we go. Well, what do you got planned for this weekend?
I'll be doing every Friday. If you log on to my Twitter at Failed to Menace, you can check out myself, Barry Spears, Gino Piccola. The three of us do a This Week in Stable Duel, which is a really fun fantasy horse racing app and game. And so we're going to be handicapping Saratoga, even though the game isn't up there. We still handicap Saratoga. And then we also are going to highlight Del Mar and some of the races out there and some of the other tracks like Laurel and Gulfstream, et cetera. So always doing that. Just, taking it easy. Got my birthday coming up next weekend, actually. So going to,
happy early birthday. Yeah,
thank you very much. And so going to enjoy racing this weekend before getting away from everything next weekend.
That is awesome. And make sure you check out, especially if you play Stable Duel, make sure to check out that show. Those are three guys that know how to handicap between Matthew here, Gino, and other friend of the show, Barry the Sniper Spears. So give that a check. Give anything Matthew does a listen, because he always brings some pretty clutch handicapping takes. All right. That is it for us here at the Notorious OTB. Man, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'm looking forward to Saratoga. I'm looking forward to Del Mar. I mean, there's going to be preseason football too to be looking forward to.
Oh, fantastic. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. So excited for this season. So
I like your chances this year.
I certainly like our chances to beat the Cowboys. And so that's really all that matters. Andy Reid, the former coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, tells a funny story that his first week, he was in Philadelphia. He was at a McDonald's. And if you know the size of Andy Reid, that checks. And so Andy Reid was at a McDonald's, and a little old lady came up to him, and she goes, "I don't care what you do, but you better beat the fucking Cowboys." So
yes.
That is the sentiment in Philadelphia. If you go 2-14, but those two wins are over the Cowboys, it's a good season. So I think we got
it. Mad respect to the gift that I hope is preserved forever, which is the Andy Reid punt, pass, and kick contest.
It's a man child. Yeah.
God, I love it. Love it. That's going to do it here for us at the Notorious OTB. I'll have another episode later this week where we look at the Saturday card for Saratoga. Check out some of the other stuff we do. We got the Tilted Land Shark. It's an AUDL gambling podcast. What's the AUDL? It is Professional Ultimate Frisbee. That's right, motherfuckers. It exists. And this week is the playoffs, so give that a check. And then, a little Zed Run gambling show with Scott Bowser. Follow the show at Notorious_OTB. Give Matthew a follow at Fail to Menace. Give me a follow at Of Oaklawn. We are out.